This is Business Beat. Welcome. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Coming up, we'll take a look at how the drought affected one outdoor industry completely dependent on water.
We did fall short on our production numbers that we wanted.
But first, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is currently accepting claims from female and Hispanic farmers who believe the agency discriminated against them in farm loan or loan servicing programs. As Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer reports, the claims process is complex, but the payouts could be large.
After the courts rejected a class action lawsuit from the farmers, USDA agreed to a voluntary settlement process with women and Latinos. Claimants must submit a 16-page claims package plus additional evidence, and then a third party will review and determine eligibility. Lynn Hayes of the Farmers Legal Action Group says eligible cases must fall between 1981 and 2000.
You may have a discrimination claim even if you actually got the loan that you applied for, but then had problems later on when you needed servicing for the loan.
But coming up with the required documentation could be a challenge. Hayes says in mid-December, about 85% of packets received had been returned as incomplete. But successful claimants could receive $50,000 or, in some cases, as much as $250,000. I'm Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
If you couldn't tell by the long-lasting triple-digit temperatures last summer, 2012 was hot, and for a long time. It was so hot, in fact, that Columbia and St. Louis set record highs for the year, according to the National Weather Service. St. Louis recorded an average temperature of 61.2 degrees for last year, a full 1.1 degrees higher than the previous mark set in 1921. In Columbia, the average temperature of 59.4 degrees topped the 1938 record. In other Missouri locations, Springfield's 2012 average temperature was the second warmest for that city. Kansas City tied for its third warmest year, Joplin's was fourth, and St. Joseph's tied for sixth. Pair that irrepressible heat with one of the worst droughts in history, and you've got one serious environmental threat to Missouri farmers. By now, you've heard about how the impact of those conditions hurt corn and soybean crops across the Midwest. But the lack of water and high temperatures also delivered a pricey punch to U.S. aquaculture, the business of raising fish for food like bass and catfish. Worldwide, aquaculture has grown into a $119 billion industry, but the drought hurt U.S. fish farmers already struggling to compete on a global scale. Dozens of rectangular ponds with rounded corners sit about 1 mile off the highway here in rural central Missouri. Some of them are empty, some have water, but not one is completely full.
This unit here is a catfish production unit, fingerlings. These fish are average 8 to 12 inches long.
Steve Kars dons a pair of shorts on an unusually warm December day and surveys his ponds. Today, the water is fairly still with a few ripples from the warm breeze. He points to the dirty rings circling up a white PVC pipe for about a foot before it becomes white again.
They're out of the water a ways. Now, our average depth in this unit is probably still about 5 feet, but we're a good 10 to 12 inches down where we usually would keep it.
Kars is the co-owner of Osage Cat Fisheries in Osage Beach, Missouri. Kars' office sits in a small house next to two tiny ponds where his father first started raising fish more than 60 years ago. Scattered about the property are sinks and large tubs filled with catfish, bluegill, and paddlefish. Carr says this year, the drought proved to be a tough one on the family business, one that sorely depends on water.
We did fall short on our production numbers that we wanted.
The dry conditions and high temperatures forced many fish farmers here to dig deep to keep their fish healthy and hungry. For Carr, that meant paying for more energy to pump clean, cool water out of his wells and into the ponds around the clock.
We probably chewed through about another 30% more power than we did the year before, and the year before was not that good.
It wasn't just the water level either. The soaring temperatures in the summer turned up the burner on the ponds. When that happens, oxygen levels in the water drop, and the fish's metabolism slows down. To counteract this, Carr says he was pumping water nearly every day from April through September. Farmers also saw the price of fish feed shoot up because it contains fish meal, soybean, and corn.
I would say we've probably seen an increase per ton over the last 4 years of probably close to $80 to $100. And we saw a huge jump just this summer of, I think it was like $16 or $17 a ton, which, you know, there's only so long before you have to pass that along.
I think in 2001, there was something like 113,000 acres or so, and now there's like 50,000.
That's John Hargreaves, a former aquaculture professor at Mississippi State University who now consults for global aquaculture development projects. He says the rising production costs of fish farming, erratic weather, and a less expensive type of catfish from Asia have all hurt the catfish industry here, essentially cutting it in half.
Production is down, and one of the big drivers for that was the increase in imports of Pangasius catfish from places like Vietnam and China and so forth. So those imports have basically substituted for domestic catfish.
In 2010, 20% of U.S. catfish farms shut down, and that was before the crushing drought. So what can fish farmers do to survive the stiff competition and spells of inhospitable weather? Some researchers have been looking into modifying the pond system to make it more energy efficient. Others are experimenting with new feed recipes requiring less expensive ingredients. But Hargreaves says even that might not be enough to save this domestic industry.
There's no silver bullet or game changer out there, that's for certain.
In the meantime, Steve Kars plans to repurpose at least 20 acres of catfish ponds to raise other species like paddlefish and bass. He hopes they'll be more lucrative. But most of all, he's hoping for a solid snowpack this winter and lots of rain in the spring. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Christopher Husted. That's it for Business Beat this week. To check out these stories and some photos from the catfish farm, you can head to kbia.org. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.